In his book, Mere Christianity, the writer C.S. Lewis asked a provocative question. He asked, is Christianity hard or easy? After all, he noticed, if we listen to the very words of Jesus about what it is like to follow him, his words seem sometimes to come down on the one side and sometimes on the other. At one time, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. And yet at another time, he says, if anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. On the one hand, he says that the burden is light. On the other hand, he says that it is like carrying the cross to the place of execution. Is Christianity hard or easy? Lewis thought that part of the answer to the riddle could be found in the transformation which Jesus Christ wants to work in the heart of every one of us. He said, if we approach Jesus and try to follow him while still clinging to the old life, the life he came to destroy and to change, if we seek to follow him while still living for ourselves, then we'll find the path very difficult. His commands, his burdens, will seem like so many restrictions, so many difficulties which we have to endure. And we'll wind up being pulled in two directions, hoping perhaps that finally we can satisfy him and everything he asks of us, hoping that perhaps when all that's said and done, there'll be enough time and enough resources and enough energy left over to do whatever it is that we really want to do, to live for whatever it is that we really want to live for. And if we try to follow him that way, our heart will be divided, and we'll feel the burden weigh us down. But on the other hand, Lewis said, he wants us to follow him in another way. He wants us to simply make the great exchange, to lose our lives in order to find them, to place all that we have and all that we are and all that we live for in his hands, to give ourselves away, to live no longer for ourselves, but for his glory. And if we do that, we find the burden light and the yoke easy, however heavy it might actually be. The same paradox is in the words of the gospel that we read this morning. On the one hand, Jesus speaks of the difficulty of following him. Remain in my love, he says. And the way that you remain in my love is that you keep my commandments. And my commandment is this, love one another as I have loved you, as I loved you from the cross. And no greater love has man than this, but he laid down his life for his friends. In other words, he says, following me means to lay down your life. And then, in the very same passage, he says, I have told you these things in order that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. How is it possible, this combination of sacrifice and joy, which marks the Christian life, which radiates from the faces of the saints? This morning, that's the theme that I'd like to explore a little, and I'd like to say really two things about Christian sacrifice. That Christian sacrifice is joyful because it arises from love, and secondly, that it's joyful because it helps us to live simply. Take each point in turn. Christianity has often been accused of being a negative, a pessimistic, and unnatural religion. All this cult of the cross, this crucified Messiah hanging over every altar in every church. All this business about deny yourself and take up your cross, all the fasting and all the obedience, all the rooting out of vices and the retraining of our disordered desires. Christianity's critics down through the ages have seen it as something unnatural, but that point of view fails to really understand. For the Christian who makes sacrifices to follow Christ, makes his sacrifices out of love. The one who fasts, for example, refuses for a moment to satisfy his hunger for the bread of this world, refuses to satisfy it not because he doesn't care about his life or his well-being, not because he doesn't enjoy the food of this world, but because he wants another hunger, a better hunger, to take a deeper possession of his soul. He refuses to be satisfied with the food before him now because he is looking for a banquet and a feast in heaven, and he wants his desire to see the very face of God grow stronger and stronger every day. To take another example, the martyrs who went to their deaths didn't do so because they didn't care about their lives or because they didn't enjoy living. They did so because they were in love with Jesus Christ, and they were ready to give all that they had and all that they were for him, ready to bear him testimony, even with their blood, if necessary. And the marvelous thing is that something put a smile on their faces as they gave away everything to follow him. So Christian sacrifice is animated by love, and love lightens every burden and, as it were, makes it sweet. That same love has the tendency to simplify our lives. I have told you these things that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full, Jesus said. He wants us to learn to rejoice in the very most important things. And the Christian who sacrifices something in order to follow him learns how to simplify his life, to direct his love toward what really matters, to let everything else go. Our world and our culture can fail to understand that. It can be allergic to obligation, to sacrifice, to commitment. It can have a deep desire to keep its options open. But the truth is that if we do that forever, we'll never accomplish anything. A sculptor looking at a block of marble could see enclosed within it 1,000 different possibilities, 1,000 different shapes and varied beauties that he might carve. And as soon as he chooses any one of them, all the other possibilities will be lost. And yet, if he never chooses any one of them, none of the possibilities will ever be realized. And it takes a sort of courage to begin to carve the block, to make something beautiful and great. And so it is with the Christian life. The world can't understand, perhaps, how a man could tie himself down to marriage, how he could give his life to another for his wife and his children and for the society that he lives in. He doesn't keep his options open. Instead, he gives himself away and finds that in doing that, he truly lives. The world can't understand the call of Christ. If you would be perfect, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Can't understand the parable about the merchant who finds a great pearl hidden in a field and in his joy sells everything he has to buy it. But all those parables, that intensity in the Christian life, point us toward simplicity. The letter to the Hebrews says that Jesus Christ went to the cross for the sake of the joy set before him. Not because he didn't care for his life, but because he did care for ours. And for the sake of the joy set before him, the scripture says, he endured the cross, despising its shame. He so loved us that he was willing to suffer and to die, to make us into the kind of creatures pulsating with radiance, with beauty, with light, who could look upon the very face of God. And for that great and noble purpose, he was willing to sacrifice, and so should we be. I have told you these things that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. He uttered those words on the night before his passion, and he meant them to sink in deep. For this joy that he spoke of is a joy from beyond the confines of the world. Above the world's tears and its trials, its sufferings and its sorrows, there is an ancient joy. It was before the worlds were made, and its laughter shakes the halls of heaven. It rings out its song for all eternity of a triumphant and a victorious love. As we consider the words of the Lord to us this morning, we ought to try to listen to that song. We ought to raise up our eyes and strain our ears and catch the notes of it. For as St. Paul says, the sufferings of this present life are not worth being compared to the glory to be revealed in us. And now we see as in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. And this joy of which Jesus is speaking, it is the very joy of God. And it is meant, my brothers and sisters, to become our joy too.